You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast ahead of the new season here from William Hill. My name is Jack Critchley. We'll be having a look at all three of the football leagues. But Pete Farries joins me to focus on the Championship first of all. And Pete, it should be a decent season. Some big names down there.
Absolutely. Two Champions League winners, of course, in this mix as well this season in terms of managers. It's absolute madness, isn't it, when you consider that Rafa Benitez and, although less mad, Roberto Di Matteo will be down in this league this season. You've got a Norwich squad that I think is just almost exactly what it was last season, barring Redmond, and a squad that is, should be expected to bounce right back up. You've got Brighton down there, Derby, of course, under new stewardship, Sheffield Wednesday in there as well, a side who did really well last season, who, in my opinion, have only got stronger. I think this league is really strongly, I don't know what you think, Jack, but really strongly split into two. I think you've got a group of very, very good clubs, and you've got a group of clubs that are really, really going to struggle. I've got to say, this season, I don't see a huge middle bracket, do you?
No, not particularly. I think there's a few clubs that will be in there, but I think they'll be the sides that are expected to be up at the top and have just disappointed. But you look at the likes of Forest, you look at the likes of I suppose, Blackburn and Reading, and teams such as those, and Fulham as well, who would normally consider themselves safe in mid-table. They have got to look over their shoulder quite a bit this season, and there's a lot of improving to do for those teams at the bottom, I think.
Oh, completely. And again, I mean, we'll be talking about many of these teams through the podcast, but, you know, you're looking at a Fulham side have lost all their goals, the only thing that's positive last season for them. You've got a Forest side that off the field are in absolute chaos, that at one point I thought had a zero capacity at their ground. I'm not sure if that's been fixed yet. I think Huddersfield are a little bit poorly spoken of because I think David Wagner has done a brilliant job there. You've got Blackburn in serious trouble, I think. You've got Rotherham in serious trouble. Reading and Fulham, there's a lot of clubs in here who are, I think, in really, really sticky patches, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it progresses and ultimately how much money we can make off it.
Yeah, absolutely. On a week-to-week basis, I think there could be some patterns that we can follow. At the top of the table, though, nearly everybody you speak to will fancy Newcastle, and it's easy to see why. They are obviously favourites, but in the promotion market, which is available on the William Hill website, 8-13, far too short to be taking. So where do we look here? Norwich are 9-4, Villa are 5-2, Brighton at 3s, Derby 100-30, and then you've got Wolves, who of course have had the takeover at 7-2, and Sheffield Wednesday, who I quite fancy actually, and you said had got stronger. They are priced at 4-1.
I mean, firstly, I think Newcastle do get promoted, so even though 8-13 is an ugly price to have to wait 8 months for, I think it's a price that will ultimately end you having more money than than you started with, and that's the point, because I think they're very, very, very much going to go up. But I'm with you. I think 7th Fab for Sheffield Wednesday is crazy. I think it's crazy that they're 7th Fab. They were brilliant last season. They lost just twice at Hillsborough in the entire campaign. They've not just now got Hooper and Forestieri. They've added Stephen Fletcher, who I know has been the butt of a lot of jokes, but is still a player, a poacher, who can get in there and score a hell of a lot of goals. I think certainly at this level. Abdi they've signed. Poodle's deal is permanent. They've done amazingly. And the other thing is, they've not lost anyone. If you look at other clubs, like Newcastle, maybe to a certain extent, Norwich in one place, you know, a lot of the big clubs have lost at least a key player going up to the Premier League or whatever else. Sheffield Wednesday haven't. 4-1 for promotion for Sheffield Wednesday is, in my opinion, utter madness. They should not be the 7th Fabs in this market. I mean, Villa's squad, I mean, I know they're signing Ross McCormack today, but Villa's squad is still on the whole what it was last season, which was, let's be fair, a stale mess. Brighton, yeah, fair enough, they'll be there. Derby, perennial blowers of the chance of promotion. I can't be backing them at 100-30. Sheffield Wednesday are the play in this market for me. No question, no debate, no argument, Jack. 4-1. it's already on my account, and it's already sitting on my open bets bit.
Brilliant. Well, no arguments from me. I'm not debating with that. I think I completely agree. And you've got the likes of Hutchinson in there as well, and you've got players as well who brought over from overseas. I'm thinking Lucas Yao. I'm thinking Marco Matthias and players like that who have had now a year in the Championship at this level to adapt. Surely they can only be stronger. I mean, some of them might not get much game time, but surely they can be impact subs as well if the game isn't going the way that Wednesday would want it.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I think you're absolutely right with Zhao, for example. I mean, Marco Matthias scored arguably the goal of the season in the Championship. Certainly one of them, without question, against Leeds, didn't he, last season? He's a player I've not always loved, but he obviously had injury problems a lot of last season as well. That squad, it's just, the point is, it is, you're often weighing up at this stage of the season. You're often weighing up, I think, two things when you're putting your bets together. Opening 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, you're weighing up who has come in, who have they signed, who have they lost in that one bracket. And the other one is, where is the club at? I don't want to say spiritually, but you know what I mean? Where is the club at? What is their position? Are they, you know, cutting back? Have they lost loads and not brought in the quality? Has there been problems behind the scenes? That's the kind of thing you are at this stage to frame your bets, I think, looking at. And Wednesday haven't lost anyone and are only stronger and were brilliant last season. I mean, it's not a very difficult equation, is it?
No. Wednesday 4-1. I'll give you some bigger prices just quickly on this. Cardiff 8-1, QPR 8-1, Wigan also 8-1, Ipswich are at 9s. Then you've got loads of teams on 10s. Brentford, who I think could go quite well. Bristol City, who I think will also defy a few expectations. Fulham, who we actually think will be at the other end of the table. Leeds and Reading. And then at 12-1, I know there's a feel-good factor from talking to some of their fans around Huddersfield at the moment, so perhaps they are a little overpriced at 12-1. Let's move on to the relegation markets then. I think there's some strong fancies in here from both myself and Pete. Burton, unsurprisingly, given the size of their club, they lead the way. Rotherham 2-1, Barnsley 11-4, Blackburn 3-1, Preston 4-1. Not going to go down under Simon Grayson. Birmingham 5-1, Leeds also at the same price. And then you've got Wigan at 6s, Fulham's at 7s, and then Forest and Reading also at 7s. Pete, where do we look here?
Well, it's a couple of value markets, I think. Firstly, Rotherham at 2-1, a very thin squad, a very good manager in Alan Stubbs who did well, but again, if you're asking yourself the question, where is the club at? Last season, they survived thanks to a miracle. They've lost a lot of those players. They have just broken a club record in signing John Taylor, who is a very, very good player and a great signing, I think, for Rotherham. But that's still a tiny squad. I think, is it 21 first-teamers at the moment? 20, 21 first-teamers? That is not enough for the rigours of the Championship. Alan Stubbs, who did well in Scotland, is going to have an awful lot to pick up on very, very quickly. And if we're being absolutely fair on the whole, the record of managers coming from Scotland to the Championship does not bode particularly well for them, more often than not. Although I suppose you could say managers going from anywhere to anywhere these days doesn't bode very well for them. But 2-1 Rotherham, I think, is the best bet. I'd rather the 2-1 Rotherham than I would the 10-11 Burton, if I'm perfectly honest. And then there's a couple. I think there's a lot of teams this season who are looking very weak. Blackburn at 3-1, a club that is, in my opinion, just moving backwards despite the signings of Graham and Stokes. I don't think they're going to have enough goals to see them ticking over. I'd look further down again, 7-1 Nottingham Forest, who are in a real mess, a real pickle and a real mess at the moment, Forest. Not a side that I personally want my money with game by game, so 7-1 for relegation could also be a play. And again, I actually disagree. I think Bristol City, sorry, will have a bit of a tricky season this year, mainly down to, you know, some of the decisions that's made at management level. I think the last season they were carried through brilliantly. You know, the likes of Luke Ayling, who's very underrated, Freeman, a good player, and Cordier, of course, a good player. Just not convinced that there's something about them as a side this season that doesn't really jump out. But if you're looking for a best bet outside of Rotherham, it would actually, for me, probably be Fulham. They've lost McCormack, they've lost Dembélé. They were, of course, I think the 6th highest goal scorers in the Championship last season, Fulham, and yet they only just about survived relegation in the last month of the season. They've lost Dembélé and McCormack, Jack.
Yes.
Where are their goals coming from? I mean, they're going to have money to reinvest, you'd imagine, and maybe the goals will change and whatever else going forward. A new manager, of course, might help. But I cannot the manager having chance to really impose themselves on the club. I can't for the life of me, look outside anything other than a horrible season for Fulham.
They need some addition. Yes. I mean, you look at, they've got Corley Woodrow, they've got Matt Smith, who spent most of last season injured, and they have got Sonny Aluko, who is not a goal scorer. He is a striker, and he does play in that position, but he sets more up than scores them, certainly at this level. So,
well, yeah, I mean, Woodrow's a good player. Woodrow's a really interesting young English talent, Corley Woodrow. I'm relatively excited by him, and I actually like Sonny Aluko. I agree, he's not going to grab you loads of goals, but I like Sonny Aluko as a player. But the squad, I mean, there's, for me, again, how long did it take me on the first podcast? Tom Kearney, to have my obsession with Tom Kearney, but he's the best player in that squad, and there's rumours about him leaving. So if he goes, not for me. I think outside of Rotherham, which are the best relegation bet, I'd look at Fulham at sevens.
I'm a Kearney fan as well. I think with Corley Woodrow, I agree, I like him, but I think if he could have a season alongside Ross McCormack, which obviously isn't going to happen now, that would have hugely benefited him. And I do like Sonny Aluko, yes, but he seems to spend most of his time tracking back to collect the ball to set up rather than score.
Deep, yeah.
On your thoughts with Blackburn, by the way, I agree to the extent that they will struggle, and I think 3-1 is a good price for them to go down. But I think their problems actually lie at the back. I think they'll score goals under Owen Coyle with Graham and Stokes. But if you look at how he set up at Houston Dynamo, where he was hated and left in the end, his side could score, but they just could not shut out sides at the back. And in the end, they were losing 3-2, 4-3, etc., etc. So that, I think, could be a real problem for Owen Coyle.
And losing arguably one of the best centre-backs in the division to Newcastle in Grant Hanley will not have helped either. So completely agree.
OK, so let's move on to the TV games. And a side we just talked about, Fulham, open up the campaign at home to Newcastle. Fulham are 13-5, the draw is 12-5, and Newcastle are, as you would expect, favourites at 23-20. Still at a good price, though. Some specials here. Pete's mate Tom Kearney to score, Fulham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 12s, that's now 14s. Matt Smith to score and Fulham to win was 10-1, now 12-1. But I think people will probably be more interested in the enhanced odds about Newcastle. So Ayoze Perez to score, Newcastle to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 13-2, now 8-1. And new signing Dwight Gale to score and Newcastle to win, that has been enhanced to 3-1. So where do we start looking here? Is it as easy as an away win?
Yeah.
Oh, well, OK, let's move on. Sunday's games.
No, it really is for me. We've just been through some of Fulham's big problems, and they have got problems. Newcastle, arguably, I think going to be better. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they were unbeaten at St James's Park all season.
16-1 for that.
Still a squad. Sorry?
16-1 for Newcastle to remain unbeaten at St James's Park. Good price.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I quite like that, actually. I have a nibble on that. If you look at that front line now, Dwight Gale, Ailton Perez, Adam Armstrong was brilliant for Coventry last season. I think a couple of these might go, you know, like Tovan wasn't exactly brilliant. Sissoko, who had one good game at the Euros, and now everyone wants to sign him for 40 million quid or whatever the hell it is. A few of those will go, but they are the likes he's brought in of Dwight Gale, of Matt Ritchie, who's a great signing. The signings they're making, I mean, there's kind of signings that if I take over a championship club on Football Manager, I try and make. Brilliant signing, centre-back, spine-sorted, Grant Hanley. Then next up, you've got, of course, a brilliant player in Matt Ritchie. Then up front, I'm signing Dwight Gale. You know, you're getting goals, you're getting strength in midfield and quality in midfield. You're getting a brilliant centre-back into that club. Rafa Benitez, let's not overplay this. He's one of the best managers in the world. Clubs he's managed, he's one of the best on the planet, actually, is the truth of it. And he's in the championship. Now, part of me thinks, well, it's the championship and he's been faffing around la-di-daring in the La Liga and the Premier League and off in Serie A with Napoli, and he's not going to understand the championship. That's true of managers of a certain extent, of a certain level. When you get beyond that certain level, they're managers who will know how to get the games won. 21-20 odds against from the traders here is absolutely unbelievable value. I'd have Dwight Gale at 5-4. He scored a brace the last time he was at Craven Cottage, so I'll take that as well. Fulham have lost goals, certainly in the short term. Defensively, not entirely convinced. I think the midfield's quite good. But I honestly, 21-20 Newcastle, I could not for a second go anywhere else. Minus a goal is 13-5. I mean, honestly, they're not going to win every game. They're not going to tear every team apart. But opening game of the season, with what will be a huge following down to London from Newcastle. It's an easy train to get, believe me. I've got it several times. This is absolutely, undoubtedly, the best bet of the weekend.
Yeah.
And it happens on Friday. Now, the other thing we'd say is, don't forget, this is something I say every first game of the season. The first game of the season, what always happens, Jack? Unders. Unders, if you go back and look at under goals, every Friday night game of the season, it is everywhere. I think it's something like only two of the last six or seven, or something crazy like that since that opening time they did it of Sheffield United against Middlesbrough, which I was at. And I think it was so bad that it's bored everyone for every game since on the Friday night. Unders on the goals is normally the play here. That's 10 to 11. Play it.
What was it last year? Was it Forest-Brighton and it was 1-0? Something like that? Yeah, I seem to remember.
Yep. Unders on the goals, 10 to 11, under 2.5. But that, of course, still gives you the 2-0. That still gives you minus a goal, Newcastle. Newcastle, simple as that.
Okay, Matt Ritchie, by the way, anytime 5-2, I like that as a goal scorer. I think Fulham will be determined to improve on last season's poor defence. That's not poor, dreadful defence. And I think they'll try and restrict Newcastle to chances, but I think it might take something from outside the area or perhaps a set piece or something like that to unlock them. So 5-2, Matt Ritchie anytime, but definitely pro-Newcastle as well. And it's a really good price on the Friday night game. And if what you're saying about Rafa, he stuck around. Many people were surprised by that. But he's clearly got some sort of affinity to the club, and he's clearly been given some promises, hasn't he? Because
I mean, you can go into this in detail forever, Jack. But what I think Benitez is sick of is not having control.
Yeah.
So at Liverpool under Hicks and Gillette, he had no control, really, did he? You know, there was nonsense behind the scenes. At Real Madrid, no manager ever has control. At Napoli, you're working with a very interesting owner, De Laurentiis, who is an intriguing man, but ultimately is still the king of the castle, isn't he?
Yeah.
What he's been promised here at Newcastle, and I think this is what's probably lured him more than anything, is Mike Ashley and all the guys there have gone, just you do it. It's yours. Please, please, please stay. It's yours. Have it. Do whatever you want with it. And at that point, I think Benitez went, do you know what? I'm sick of having to sort of dance to somebody else's tune. And I think that's probably the ultimate reason. It's a huge club, and I'm sorry to say that it is. It's a huge club where he's now king, and he's not going to get questioned. And I think that's exactly what he wanted.
I encourage you to get on the 16-1 Newcastle to remain unbeaten at St James's Park throughout the season. They did it when they were back down at that level in 2009-2010. They lost four games all season. I'm pleased to say one of them was at Bloomfield Road, but they were all away from home, so they remained unbeaten when I think arguably they had a much weaker squad. Right, let's move on to Sunday's games then. All of the Saturday matches in the Championship kick off at 3 o'clock, and we'll have a look at some of those. Well, Pete will shortly. But QPR against Leeds is a midday kickoff on Sunday, the 7th of August. QPR are the favourites here, 11-10 for them to win at Loftus Road, 9-4 the draw. Leeds are 13-5. A couple of enhanced odds here. Connor Washington to score and QPR to win. That's gone out to 4-1 from 14-5. The pro Leeds bets then, Chris Wood to score and Leeds to win, was fives, now sevens. And an interesting new signing at Elland Road, Kemar Roof to score, Leeds to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, was 9-1. That has been boosted to 10-1. So QPR were fairly strong at home last season. Are they right to be the 11-10 favourite here?
I don't know if they're right or not. It's a very tough game, this. I've got to say, if I was given my choices of matches, this wouldn't have been one of the first I jumped on, truth be told. But it's there. And I think Leeds are probably ultimately too big a price. They're only beaten, of course. They battered QPR at Loftus Road last season until Charlie Austin scored from that corner. But other than that, they absolutely battered them. And that will be in the mind of some of these players. They've been upset a little bit, of course, by the transfer request of Charlie Taylor. But they have signed well. I mean, Antonsson, very good signing, brought over from the Swedish house Svenskan. They've brought in Kemar Roof, who you mentioned, and he was brilliant. More on him in a second last season for Oxford. And, you know, the likes of Hernandez, good signing. They have put in some very, very good players into this squad. And I've got to say, quite confident, because I think Gary Monk's actually a very decent manager as well. This came down my bet here to one thing. The Leeds are too big. They're too big at 13-5. 6-4 draw, no bet. You've got to look at that. Chris Wood anytime, Antonsson anytime, but Kemar Roof is 14-5. Now, there was a reason on top of the fact that he's a good player as to why I backed this. What did last season, Jack, and I know I keep asking you vague questions and expecting an answer, but I'm sorry, but that's just the way it's going to go.
I do my best.
What did Kamar Roof do brilliantly last season?
Score a variety of goals.
You're almost there.
Almost. Score away from home?
You're almost there.
Too vague. Okay, bigger clubs?
Yes, he loved it on telly.
He scored against Swansea, didn't he, in the cup?
Scored against Swansea and was, quite frankly, unbelievable. Kamar Roof at times last season. When you think about his performances, I mean, that Swansea game is an absolutely prime example of how good he was. Scored twice on telly, don't forget, against Millwall in the, as it was, JPT before it became whatever on earth it is now.
RIP JPT.
He is a player who was absolutely just brilliant last season on the television. He loved it. Scored in the FA Cup against Forest Green. He's a guy who just loved it. He just absolutely
loves the cameras.
Yeah, I mean, the brace against Swansea was absolutely fantastic. The fact that he then followed it up with a brace against Millwall on telly is amazing. 14-5 Kamar Roof. I would definitely have him. I mean, for QPR, they've not done huge amounts of business. They've lost Matt Phillips, haven't they, and one or two others. They look okay. They look solid. They look fine. Importantly, at the moment, anyway, they've kept Chowdhury Cherry, who's a really good player. Obviously, got a lot of goals last season for QPR. Certainly some important ones. He's 11-5 any time. They've kind of reinvented the centre of their midfield as well. Jordan Cousins, a really good talent from Charlton's gone in. Artur Borutiuk, they've taken in from Legia Warsaw. Very good player as well. So there's quality there. Connor Washington, good player as well. Seb Poulter had a good end to the season. If you're looking for a goal scorer for QPR, Chowdhury Cherry. But I'm playing draw no bet Leeds. My favourite bet, though, Kamar Roof anytime, 14-5.
Yeah, I won't disagree with any of that. Kamar Roof, very exciting to see him in the Championship. And Leeds fans, you've got a good signing on your hands there. I'm sure you knew that already. Let's move on to the second game of the day. It's at 4:30 and it's at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday, can they get their promotion campaign on track? The one that both Pete and I have tipped them for. They host relegated Aston Villa, who were a complete mess last season, a shambles. I could use all sorts of synonyms, but I'm not going to because Villa fans have suffered enough. Wednesday are 5-4. The draw is 21-10 and Villa are 12-5. New signing Stephen Fletcher to score and Wednesday to win was threes, now fours. Forestieri to score, Wednesday to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. It was 11-2 and it's now 6-1. And from a Villa perspective, Jordan Ayew to score and Villa to win. He was arguably their best player, if you can have one, last season. Was 9-2, now 6-1. And Rudiger Stead is back at this level. Him to score and Villa to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 8s, now 9s. Whoa, right, Wednesday, very good at Hillsborough. 5-4, will you be taking that?
Yes. Yes, I will. As we said, just two home losses last season. A squad that's no weaker. I mean, everyone's listened to this already. A squad that's no weaker. A squad that is simply stronger. On Villa's side, a couple of clever signings, you'd argue. Ross McCormack going in most recently is certainly a very, very clever signing, you'd argue. There's still a couple of players in there who will probably make their way out before the end. The likes of Ayew, for example, I imagine will probably be gone. Maybe Jack Grealish will be, or maybe this will be the making of Jack Grealish. I don't know. This is a very different situation to Newcastle, and actually a very different situation to Norwich, in that Villa came down with such utter... It wasn't even kind of a, we're angry with you. It was just everyone kind of going, well, this is a joke, wasn't it? There wasn't the anger of Newcastle, was there? You know, the anger at Newcastle was tangible about what was going on. The position in Norwich was that, look, we've gone up, we've tried our best, we've done okay, but we've not quite made it. We can go again with a good squad. At Villa, yes, I know they've been bought, but I have a Aston Villa supporting friend or two, actually, and they are just still kind of like, yeah, well, football's going to be happening. And that's not great to take to, of all places, Hillsborough on your first game of the season. Now, Di Matteo, I know, gets a lot of stick, but ultimately a lot of the job was done for him, although he did do very well until the end of the Champions League, of course, with Chelsea. But a lot of the job was done for him. He should have done better with the Schalke squad he had. Not a vintage Schalke squad, but he still should have done better with it. I'd much rather, if you were saying to me right now, you know, Villa against Fulham this weekend or Newcastle against Fulham this weekend, and you were offering me 5-1 on Villa and 21-20 on Newcastle, I'd just bite your hand clean off your arm. I just can't see how Villa are the play here. Again, a lot of players who aren't going to like it down there. And even the ones who are going to be kind of adapted to it aren't they're not players you'd follow in a battle. And I think the opening game of the season, you need to be a player who can fight a battle. Now, yeah, again, Ross McCormack, there's no price on him at the moment because the deal was only done about 20 minutes before recording this. But when he goes into it, he will be interesting as an anytime goal scorer, because of course he will. It's Ross McCormack in the Championship. But I like Forestieri here anytime at 15-8. Was superb last season. I know that Hooper's in the market at 2-1. But there's so much quality in that Sheffield Wednesday side, and they're only stronger. So again, you've got to look at Sheffield Wednesday here. I just think that 5-4 is such a nice price, and the enhanced odds offer as well, which includes Forestieri. Him to score Wednesday to win 1-0, 2-1 or 2-0 was 11-2 up to 6-1. I'd have that 6-1 all day. I've got no worries about Sheffield Wednesday in this game whatsoever, Jack.
Yeah, looks good, that price. That's a good enhancement. You can find that at the top of the match page. Just one other goal scorer. I always think that someone like Kieran Lee is worth backing as well. 4-1 any time. You can back Barry Bannon at 11-2. Or Ross Wallace, who ended the season with a few goals as well. He's 11-2 for Wednesday. They are the televised matches this weekend. One on Friday night, two on Sunday. All of the games, as we mentioned, kick off on Saturday at 3 p.m. And Pete's had a look at these.
Let's start then with Blackburn against Norwich at Ewood Park. And the fact of the matter is that Blackburn looking a great deal weaker. You'll have heard us discuss a couple of these things a moment ago with Jack. But there's no doubt that Blackburn weaker for me. No Grant Hanley. A squad that, yes, they've brought Stokes in. Yes, they've brought Graham in. But under the new gaffer, they are going to be so weak for me. And Norwich still, of course, looking very, very good. Yes, they lost Nathan Redmond, but they have got such a strong, strong squad. I think Norwich here. Still a squad that is Championship promotion chasing ready. 6-4 for me is a fantastic looking price. Don't forget the job that Alex Neil did last time in the Championship, from where he took Norwich over to where he finished up with Norwich, was truly unbelievable. If you're looking for a goal scorer, well, there are plenty in that Norwich side, but Wes Houlihan is the one for me at 17-5. Was superb, of course, in the Euros, and he's a man that at 17-5 should be carrying your cash. Highly motivated, and believe me, I'm sure right now, incredibly confident. So 17-5 for Wes Houlihan, the way in there. Norwich to win the game is undoubtedly the play, though, for me. They are going to beat what is going to be, I think, a very weak Blackburn side, and I think they may well do it very comfortably as well. 4-1, minus a goal, Norwich. Nice place to start these new little previews, isn't it? But Rotherham is the next good place to carry them on, because Rotherham are a side who, again, as I've said in the main podcast, are going to struggle. They are not a play for me in any way, shape or form at 15-8, so do back Wolves. Yes, the appointment of Walter Zenger was a little bit controversial in some places, but they are still a squad with great young players. Dominic Iorfa, Courtney Howes are going to make that back line very good this season. But Varson's gone in up front. They do need a bit more going forward, Wolves, for me. They are going to, from the sounds of it, chase that money down and chase that goal scorer down. But what have Rotherham got? Well, they've got a very talented player in John Taylor. They just broke the club record transfer fee to sign from Peterborough. He's a good player. But they've still got a tiny, tiny squad. And Alan Stubbs did brilliantly in Scotland, but he is not, for me, a man to back on the opening day of the season in Yorkshire. So Wolves at 6-4 is the way forward here in South Yorkshire. Yes, I don't think they're going to have the very, very best of seasons, but they are still very much, I think, in this game, the very best of the outright plays. Goal scorer wise, well, Bud Varson, I've mentioned at 11-5. I always did like a little nibble on James Henry as well at 100-30. Can take long range free kicks, can of course hit it from long range. A talented player who ended the season with a bit of an injury, but he's still an interesting way in, James Henry. 100-30 for him. But ultimately, on the outrights, Wolves at 6-4. And finally, let's have a little look here at Nottingham Forest against Burton. Burton will be on pretty much every coupon, I'm sure, for a lot of people to lose, or at least a lot of people will be looking at them to be relegated this season. But Nottingham Forest, don't forget, is a club that Nigel Clough knows very, very well. I think he's going to be really up for this one, and I think his Burton players are as well. They haven't invested brilliantly over the course of the summer. We'll get more to that in a second. But what they have got for me is the upper hand in solidity, in stability. Because Forest have had a nightmarish summer. They've had, of course, all kinds of nonsense going off behind the scenes. At one point, their capacity of their ground was, I think, zero, officially. They have not been a side that I think, as a club, I said earlier in the podcast, look at two things early season. Well, I certainly do anyway. Look at A, who's come in and who's gone out. And B, look at, very simply, the other thing. Where is the club at? And I think Forest are in a very, very tricky spot indeed. They are not to be backed in this game. Certainly not to be backed to that kind of price, 21-20. It's not exactly a big journey either, Burton to Nottingham Forest. It's one that I've done on being a very good boyfriend duty on a couple of occasions. They are not the play for me at all. Jackson Irvine, interesting player signed from Ross County. But Ben Turner will really solidify that back line, I think. 27, free transfer from Cardiff. Clever bit of work from Burton. Chris O'Grady on loan, can do a job. Lloyd Dyer, a good signing for Burton as well. But last season, they did everything by a goal, Burton. At one point, had 15 1-0 wins. I mean, that is crazy. Burton 1-0, 17-2 is absolutely phenomenal value for me. 11-4 Burton is interesting, but have yourself a cheeky little draw, no bet luck ultimately. 7-4 for Burton. This is the new way we're doing things, these little previews on the end of the chat. And I'll tell you what, that's a good bet as any to get us going.
So plenty to get stuck into on Saturday afternoon in the Championship then as the Football League gets underway. They're the thoughts of Pete Farries, who is still here, and we're going to have a look at your nap now. What is your standout bet? Because you've been quite passionate about many this weekend, haven't you?
Yeah, obviously there was a couple in that preview that I'm a big fan of. But I think two of the three relegated sides win their games this weekend. But let's not kid ourselves. Let's start nice and easy. My money will be on Newcastle United to beat Fulham. The fact of the matter is that squad is Championship clever, that squad now. They've got one of the best managers on the planet. It's not going to be that big a culture shock because they were here a couple of years ago. And Fulham are a club with no goals in them, with no time to get the goals back into them after Dembélé and McCormack went. And a squad that I think is in serious, serious trouble this season. No doubt, no question, no argument. Let's start the season nice and easy, nice and simple, but we're still with an odds against Newcastle United, my nap of the week.
Newcastle United, nap of the week, 21-20 away at Fulham. You can watch that one on Sky Sports on Friday night. It kicks off at 7:45. Pete, thank you very much for your company, and we look forward
to
speaking to you throughout the season. And good luck with your nap and all of your bets this weekend.
Away we go!
So that's the Championship covered then. League One and Two also kick off this weekend. Let's turn our attention to League One then. Sheffield United start as favourites in the market. And Blades fan Gav P takes a look at this weekend's bets.
So League One begins this Saturday. I always find the first couple of weeks of a football season the toughest in terms of betting because you have no previous form to rely on, new managers, new clubs, new players, new systems. But here are three solid shouts for the start of League One that I'll put together. The first one regards Sheffield United away at Bolton. Two new managers making their debut for their respective clubs, with Phil Parkinson in charge at Bolton and Chris Wilder in charge of Sheffield United. And that, for me, will make it an entertaining, attack-minded game because both managers will want to impress and set out their stall from day one. Both have been charged and challenged with the task of getting their clubs up to the Championship and possibly beyond. Lots of little connections with Bolton and Sheffield United as well. The goalkeeper Mark Howard signed from the Blades in the summer. Gary Medine up front for Bolton, former Sheffield Wednesday player. Mark Beavers, a Sheffield Wednesday fan, signed by Bolton. He'll be playing centre-half and he scored against the Blades at Bramall Lane for Millwall last season. So there's people on that Bolton side who will be desperate to score against Sheffield United and are looking deadly from set pieces. That was the Achilles heel for Sheffield United last season. And I don't think Chris Wilder, while he's got a new defence, I don't think he's got the defence that he wants. And he's still probably looking for another centre-half. They've added Leon Clark, John Fleck from midfield to provide the ammunition for Billy Sharp and Shay Adams. I think there's goals in both these sides. And I think over 2.5 goals at the Macron at 23-20 is pretty solid. So I'm expecting goals between Bolton and Sheffield United. Sheffield United, start of last season, got thumped 4-0 away at Gillingham. So over the goals landed that time. I will also have a look at Millwall at 4-6 against struggling Oldham. I think Oldham are in for a long season. Their club has been in turmoil pre-season. They have lost 16 players. They've signed 13 players. Not a penny made, not a penny spent. And Millwall just missed out on promotion to the Championship. And they've signed some decent players as well. David Worrell from Southend is a great set-piece taker. They've lost Mark Beavers to Bolton, but they've signed Sean Hutchinson from Fulham. pretty much a like-for-like centre-half transfer. So I'm thinking Millwall at 4-6. They've also won the last four games straight against Oldham, scoring eight, conceding just one. Thumped them 3-0 at the Den last season. So I'm all up for Millwall at 4-6. And my final shout is Scunthorpe at 6-5 to beat newly promoted Bristol Rovers. Daryl Clark has done a wonderful job at Bristol Rovers, going for his third consecutive promotion. They've only made two signings, so it very much is the Bristol Rovers side that got him up from League Two on the final day of last season. Matty Taylor scoring lots of goals for Bristol Rovers. This is the highest level of football he has ever played at, so can he adjust to life in League One? If he can, he'll still be a shout for any time goal scorer game after game. But Scunthorpe's home form is very good. They've only lost five of their last 25 at home, and they only missed out on the playoffs by goal difference last season, finishing on 74 points along with Barnsley. And Barnsley, of course, went up to get promoted. 12 unbeaten at home for Scunthorpe last season. And they've got the likes of Paddy Madden scoring plenty of goals as well. So Scunthorpe at 6-5 to beat Bristol Rovers seems a solid shout for me. So my treble for the start of the League One season is Bolton and Sheffield United over 2.5 goals at 23-20. Millwall at 4-6 and Scunthorpe at 6-5 to beat Bristol Rovers. That is a 6.88-1 acca.
My nap selection for weekend one of League One, Millwall, 4-6.
Plenty of value to be found in the third tier then. Let's move on to League Two, which looks as competitive as ever this season. Teams dropping down include Doncaster, Crewe and Blackpool. And joining the Football League are Cheltenham and Grimsby. So here's the thoughts of Al Ross.
Now, the first game of the season is a time where the average punter normally puts their money on the league favourites to make a blistering start. And that's normally either the teams that were almost promoted last season or those that have come down from the league above. I actually think the real value here is at the other end, because while there is a gap down from League One to League Two, the gap between League Two and the Conference, now the National League, well, that's not very big at all. You can prove that by looking at how many teams spent years in the fifth tier before they came back up. Let's look at the last six champions. Burton, Stevenage, Crawley, Fleetwood, Mansfield, Luton, Barnet. Four of those are still in League Two. One is in League One. One of them is in the Championship. So let's look at last season's National League champions, Cheltenham, who couldn't have picked a better fixture for value, a home tie with Leighton Orient. Now, I'm aware Orient are the bigger club traditionally. They're expected to be in the mix at the end for promotion. But they've also lost three of their last five meetings with Cheltenham, and they looked in disarray towards the end of last season. Joby Mackenough, Bradley Pritchard, Lloyd James, Kevin Nolan have all left. Jordan Bowery and Ivan Erishar aside, this is not a club that I think has strengthened well. And they're facing a Cheltenham side who've kept last year's title-winning squad together and added quality. Despite all that, it's a pick and market almost. Now, maybe Orient will finish in the mix at the end of the season, but it's certainly worth backing them to make a slow start. You can argue which side has the better quality. There is no doubt, though, who has the momentum, and Cheltenham are 13-8 at the time of recording. And the other team who came up from the most difficult non-regionalised league in the country was Grimsby, and they're kind of in a similar situation. They have home advantage against a Morecambe side who narrowly avoided the drop last season and won a grand total of one away fixture in the back half of last year. And yet, Grimsby are not odds on. Now, non-league's FA Trophy can be a real money spinner for clubs who do well. Look at Stevenage, look at York, look at Luton. They all won promotion to the Football League off the back of lucrative campaigns to Wembley. Well, Grimsby have been there twice in the last four seasons and were involved in the last two playoff finals. So a very strong base financially, and no surprise as a result, a lot of the players who have left have gone to non-league sides and they've recruited from either the higher leagues or those who were just frankly too good to stay with nearby relegated York. Now, I'm not normally one to read into pre-season fixtures, but my third pick has to be Exeter, who won all of their pre-season games, scoring a total of 13 goals and conceding only two in their six fixtures. And they are just the sort of veteran League Two team that Blackpool will not look forward to facing on the opening day. I'm aware it's a long trip, but Exeter are well used to those by now, and I've seen nothing in the transfer market or in pre-season to convince me that Blackpool have stopped being a crisis club. So 11-5 on the away side is startlingly big. That treble of Cheltenham, Grimsby and Exeter would pay you, at the time of recording, 15.8-1, but my League Two nap for the opening weekend has to be Cheltenham at 13-8.
My thanks to Al, Gav and Pete for their thoughts on the League podcast this week on the opening weekend of the season. Don't forget, you can see all of Pete's previews in video form if you follow at WillHillBet on Twitter. Have a look there and you can see all his thoughts on promotion and relegation across the divisions. Pete Farries knows his stuff when it comes to the Football League. And before we go, just time to tell you about the William Hill Offer Club, which starts on Friday the 5th of August, just in time for the new football season. You can get a £5 free bet every single week, and all you need to do is bet £20 or more on the football on accumulators with four teams or above each week. £20 or more on accumulators with four teams or above, and you will receive a £5 free bet in your account every single Friday during the football season. It's available to all customers, mobile and online. So make sure you join the William Hill Offer Club, because that £5 free bet can then be used on all of the weekend's football, including any tips you may have heard during the league podcast. The William Hill Offer Club. More details on the website, williamhill.com. So the league podcast will be back next week with Pete, Gav and Al looking at the Championship, League One and Two. There is, of course, action in the Cup in midweek. But we'll be here for the second round of fixtures in the newly named EFL here on William Hill's League Podcast next week. Goodbye.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Hey, oh, let's go, let's go. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.